Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Today is the 30th day of April 2021. I am David Ellis, and I'm going to be with you up until 2 o'clock today. At the moment, Ronnie Clark is on the other side, and he is looking after the technical matters. And I believe he's the producer. I'm not so sure if he's going to be with me throughout the entire program. He confirms that he will be. So we'll be together. At the outset of this program, let me declare that I consider Donville Innes to be a friend of mine. I'm therefore among those who are deeply touched by his conviction on money laundering charges in the United States. I am sorry that it has come to this, but history is full of examples of people who have made mistakes, some much bigger than this. And they've been able to pick themselves up and go on to make outstanding contributions to their societies nonetheless. And I certainly hope that this is the case for Mr. Innes. The reaction that I've seen, especially on social media, may tell us a lot about the Barbadian attitude to the idea of criminal proceedings against a politician for corruption in this country. I've seen and heard two responses. Those who gloat and say that he should have been given a heavier fine. And then I've heard some people who say he did nothing wrong. Taken together, they may be telling us a lot about the extent to which some are bitter with politicians and others are in a position where they condone and encourage corruption in the country. The latter is perhaps at the core of why at every general election we hear politicians parade on platforms with allegations of corruption and suggestions that every new administration is going to bring people before the law courts and bring legislation to fight corruption, but nothing happens. In the end, it appears as just another ploy to gain power and create the enabling environment for another group, and sometimes the same group of people who were benefiting from corruption before, to continue benefiting from it. And it comes in various forms. Examples: giving insider information to friends and family so that they can be on the inside track for land deals and other deals. Being paid to lose files so that matters can be pursued, or to disadvantage one person against another. Receiving money in brown paper bags in exchange for the awarding of contracts. Remember, no checks. They can be traced. Pressuring people to allow you access to what they own, their apartment, their house, their vehicle, their land, in exchange for the opportunity, their opportunity, to do business. Refusing to pay people the money to which they are entitled unless they give you a little something to free up. Stealing whatever you can from workmates and employers, and employers who find various methods to cheat their workers and their business partners. Taking money to start proceedings against people, to block those proceedings as best as you can once you're in a pivotal position. These are some of the things that, you know, occur from time to time. in some places with a greater degree of regularity than in others. But the real question is this: are we really, really prepared to address it? Do you get the impression that Barbados is a country that is ready and willing to tackle this? My sense in listening to the reaction in this particular matter here and what I have heard over the years suggests to me that many, many Barbadians see corruption as something that is inevitable and acceptable. Some suggest to you that if you are in a position of power or influence, you would be a fool if you don't, quote unquote, look after yourself. Whenever you hear that term, you know what it means. All right? And I believe, therefore, that for all the talk and all the laws that we are discussing, it will make no difference if the culture is as I see it. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not people out there who genuinely want to see better and really believe that this country will be the worse off if we settle for a maintenance of the status quo. Indeed, if you follow the logic that I have been hearing from some, accept the status quo because better cannot be done. And if you do, in my judgment, far from improving, you're going to slip away. You're going to get worse. And as we saw in the Senate, I think it was last August, when the anti-corruption bill was defeated, we will always find one reason or another why we shouldn't take steps. There's always somebody who is going to say that I am going to be touched, or my family is going to be touched, my children, my this, my that. You know, you can't do it. It will be defeated. And therefore, I certainly do not expect meaningful change in Barbados. And I expect that we are going to create grounds for other countries to pressure us and even take action against our citizens. I guess there are a lot of people right now who have no plans to travel to the United States in the not too distant future. And I don't think it has anything at all to do with COVID. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, David?
I am well, and you?
I am fine. I wish you God's richest blessings in retirement, and wish you good health.
Now, thank you very much.
You're welcome. There's a lot of talk sometimes about this whole question of barrels in the port and how they're being charged. I know you had Asikudo, and you had Asikudo Plus, and now you have Asikudo World. I also have the monster called the IMF. And it's my understanding from a little research that barrels coming from wherever in the world, especially the United States, all barrels, attract now, hitherto, they were attracting about 40-something percent on the goods that come in the barrel, but not personal effects. And there was no charge on freight. But it is my understanding that given the Asikudo Plus and the IMF on the shores, that you now have to pay for freight. So it's like cost, insurance, and freight, where the items must be itemized, and you pay the tariff that is applicable to those items. And from time to time, you see that when you go to get a barrel, before you leave the customs, you might have to pay like $400 or more, or maybe a little less too. So I believe that the Minister Strong, the Honourable Strong, should come out and let people in Barbados know why the change is as regarding the whole question of paying the freight cost. If you send a bar that costs $200 in the U.S., you pay that $400, you'll pay duty on that as well. And this is something that I understand is coming through from the IMF wanting to charge everything that comes into Barbados in U.S. dollars or whatever kind of dollars it comes in. And that is something that you have to look at, because if you look at the humanitarian aspect of it, you have a grandmother or a grandfather or somebody who's getting a very low pension, or not an old age pension as opposed to a national insurance pension, which might be a little more. And they send a bar to somebody, to one of those persons. What will happen is that the money you spend to put your thing in the barrel, the freight you pay to get it here, then puts that body at a disadvantage to clear that barrel in terms of the money that you have to pay to get the barrel to the customs. So I think that somebody from the government circle, somebody in the Ministry of Finance, need to come out and explain to the people in Barbados why that charge. Because more and more, you'll get less and less barrels. The barrel trade would die if persons have to pay that kind of extravagant amount of money moving away from the old system to this new system based on the Asakura world and the IMF.
So you put the blame on the Asakura Plus and you put it on the IMF, but have you given consideration to the fact that people who are doing business in Barbados also have a vested interest in trying to encourage the payment, in trying to keep the barrel trade down as much as possible, because they have also been pushing government to take action, for instance, to apply VAT to items that are imported from abroad. So yes. You haven't taken that into consideration?
I understand that too, but I speak from my own research in high places. Mm-hmm. So I don't like to speak out of turn in terms. I understand the VAT on the whole question of things coming from Amazon or overseas. They have to pay the VAT. That is also an IMF thing as well. So that is not only the people in Barbados trying to get you to pay a VAT so that you can come to their stores. That is also a plank of the IMF. We are saying that everything coming into Barbados in foreign currency should be taxed. And I believe that somebody from one of the finance ministers, I think there are more than one, should come to the airwaves and really explain whether or not that is true or false. But before you used to pay like 40-some-by-percent for the items in the barrel, and you get your personal effects free. But nowadays, the opposite is true. You're getting charged as though you have a business. Cost, insurance, and freight are all put into the whole system that you must pay taxes on. And that is from my research.
All right, sir. Thanks for doing the research for us.
I'm your girlfriend.
Thank you very much. Okay. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hi. Good morning, Mr. Alex.
Yes, morning.
How are you today?
I'm well, and you?
Right. I am great. Something that I always talk to you about is on agriculture, politics, and life. I'm going to take a little shift this morning before, if you allow me to, and compliment you on the elegant way you defend your friend Donville Innes.
I haven't defended. Excuse me, hold on a minute. There's nothing that I have said there that constitutes a defense.
Well, that's how you pick it up.
No.
You made it clear.
There's no defense.
If I judge you wrong, let me move on. I apologize.
There is no defense.
If I judge you wrong, I apologize. Let me move on.
But all that I have said is an acceptance of the reality. I haven't defended anyone.
The way I pick it up from my side, Donville Innes is your friend, and this thing happened, and the next thing happened, and the third thing happened.
All I have said as it relates specifically to him,
yeah,
that history is full of examples of people who have made mistakes and were able to pick themselves up and go on to make contributions to their society.
Point.
I haven't defended him.
I understand you. I understand you. And I wish that when people like him, that we hold in such high esteem, make mistakes like those. And if I could go into the details, you would jump to there. I ain't going into them. But I can just give a little glimpse. Mm-hmm. When a fella being put in a high office to do things that is right, and go to the extent which Mr. Ennis been brought guilty on and through a court of law and slap on the wrist, I am saying he should have feel the full weight of the law. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
right? And I hope you
have to
that clear.
Well, I just want you to bear in mind that in the circumstances, there is quite a price that a person in his position has to pay. First of all, you have to look at the amount of time that he has already spent trying to fight this case. He's certainly been confined to his home and that sort of thing. He couldn't travel as freely as he wanted to. And now, in addition to a two-year sentence, he also has another 2 years in which he has to give community service. So you're talking about
but
4 years.
Community service, woman. Community service what?
Well, he is not, as far as I'm concerned, he is not free to do as he pleases. And at that level, he will pay a high price. There's not, now, you are entitled. You're certainly entitled to say that as far as you are concerned, he should pay an even higher price, but he is already going to be paying a price nonetheless.
Yes. He should be paid a higher price, and the reason why I would say that, right? I hold this man in real high esteem. I never could believe that a man would take funds from Barbados and shift it to United States, and we got so much poor people down here that he could invest that funds with. I honestly, you understand where you stand, and I understand where you stand. So
no, it don't work so. If you're going to come and make any charge, and this is not peculiar to his situation, I hold this position, as you well know, with so many other things that people say here on the radio. If you're going to make a charge of that nature, then you've got to be able to produce the evidence to support it. Where is that evidence? Unless you do, if you don't do that, then I can only say to myself that you are just trying your best to embellish a situation.
You could say that, but I gone past that now. Right? Mm-hmm. I talk in agriculture. Mm-hmm. I remember you and I had a big clash here on agriculture already, and I come out on top. All right? I'm saying this to you and the whole of Barbados, everybody that involved in agriculture, especially the Minister of Agriculture. We need to plant more. Government bringing tractors to start well, and I ain't seen no more land plow up. So what they need to do is go full force on all their plants and get Barbados planted with food. We've been messing around too long. And last time I tell you, suppose the ships start coming, you do a number upon my mind. And then the next 2 weeks, ships start coming. I am saying, in short, we got to get up off we behind, realize what the Chinese with the largest population in the world doing, going all over the world, leasing land and planting. And we here in a 2x3, and we want to go down to Suriname and can't even get Barbados plant. I'm saying we are like sitting ducks. We need to do more. A lot more can be done. And like everything else, somebody gaining by who important. I can get this last one and I move. Or no, how it is with you.
Yeah, you know how it is with me, because before you go any further, I can be true to form. So, since you air your mouth like this, tell me something. What have you been doing for agriculture?
Planting.
What have you been planting? Talk to me.
Hold on. Thanks for asking. Let me tell you what you have been doing and what I have done in the world already in Barbados. I export cucumbers to the United States already.
Mm-hmm. Right, already.
I export clothes to buy from Barbados to St. Lucia. And a man who did enough talking on the road, on the radio recently tried to block it. And then he sent some person to me with a citation, and I won't go into details or not. I know you're going to cut me off. I tell the man, and I left.
Yeah, okay.
And see the minister and get
fine.
It dealt with.
Fine. So let me ask you this other question. Since you say that Barbados should do more, what stops you from doing more?
Enough blocks in road, my old lady lose her leg, and I had to deal with her.
Can you stop farming now?
No. I'm doing it on a lower scale.
And so you see
remember they tell you about farming when the Israelis come in and you try to downplay it?
Hold on a minute. You recognize that you have your own personal obstacles that prevent you from doing more. Have you ever stopped to look at the national obstacles that stop more people in Barbados from producing more in agriculture?
You want answer to that? You going to listen?
I listen to you all the time.
Good. Let me tell you. I had a meeting with Dr. Braffy, on schedule meeting, where we sat for over an hour and a half and discussed agriculture at all levels.
Right.
And I was told, how do you read that?
Well, all I'm asking you to do is to be realistic about the factors that are inhibiting the growth of agriculture. Because it's one thing to say you need to do more, but then you got to go beyond that to look at what are the real difficulties that people face. I mean, I hear people in agriculture complain bitterly about over the years, it's been pretty a larceny, the monkey population, the whole market intelligence. These are things I have heard people complain about over the years. Some people also look at it from the point of view of the costs associated with doing the business versus what they are able to get as a profit. So, I mean, all of that is at work. The other day I complimented a guy who called, who said that he was having problems. I think it's at River or someplace like that. And he was talking about the young people who were showing an interest in agriculture, people that he was basically mentoring. And that is the kind of thing that you need to encourage. But along the way, you've worked in the business. You must know full well. It isn't as easy. It's easier said than done for some in some areas. Having said that, though, there are some areas that I've noticed improvement in. For instance, I mean, that area there where people are into growing lettuce and herbs and that sort of thing seems to be doing quite well from what I'm noticing when I go in the supermarket in particular.
Let me say this to you, Mr. Ellis. And I have no buts about this year. I used to plant 2,000 heads of lettuce every other week. I used to supply school meals with lettuce. I used to supply the flight kissing with lettuce and then a flash in the pan. Right? What happened at the time we sit down and talk to Mr. Laurie? At the BS in a meeting, talk to Hansy Bain. Them know every year, when coming on to Christmas, the government just give import license to people to bring in things and then glut up the market and put the farmers in trouble. They listen very attentively. Agree it will not happen this year, and then when hell broke loose, the farmers was worse off that year than the year in front and all the other years. We had a glut of everything, a glut of tomatoes. We had a glut of peppers. We had a glut of everything because somebody was gaining by allowing import license. You can imagine you planning for over 15, 20 years with a problem. And then we get together, we go to a meeting, and we decide, blah, 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 you listen, and then allow it. And I hear Mr. Ben Company really hear my talk a role, and I saw it in front of your face.
Well, Mr. Ben hasn't been with the BAS for quite some time now. I would think that has been over 12 years, 20, 13 years or so. It's a long time ago. You know, you can get that to me because it is a long time ago. But that happened quite a while ago.
Well, like about you just have how long it is. But you can see how much farmers then run out of farming. And you skinny you mouth.
No,
you
I'm skinny
in a serious conversation.
Because
idiot or something.
No, you get too touchous, man. Give me a break. You're really too touchous.
Serious and you skin your mouth. Then that is laugh about. Check and see how much farmers gone out. That's the point I want to make.
Well, let me say to you that a lot would have happened in the last 13 years. I think you will still have some element of that concern that you are raising. But I think that if you really want to make contact with this matter, it would be more appropriate to look at it at what has been happening, let's say, within the last couple of years or so. To what extent are you able to say that the same behavior has been engaged in? I appreciate your experience of years ago, but people need to look at it more from the point of view of how current is that kind of problem, you know? And I only laugh because once again you tell me that I shouldn't be talking about the past. That's the only thing I'm laughing at. I'm laughing at you at all. I gone, though. Thank you very much. Yeah, well, you had a fair amount of time with me already, you know. Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, morning.
Yes, David.
Hi.
No, I listened to the Minister of Health last night. Okay. I am saying COVID is still here. It has not moved anywhere, and we need to keep our guards up. Okay? It was early last week that I passed in front of the little place at surgery, so surgery terminal, and I work on 35 persons who was wearing masks on their chins. Their mouth and nose were not covered, okay? Some was drinking. Yes, they could give in to that. You can't drink with the mask on. Some were just in groups, little groups, and close up, no safe distance, and masks underneath the chin. You know, when I was wearing my mask and my gear to protect my eyes and teeth, and... Boy, it had me angry to see what big grown people what they are doing. Okay. All right, the minister said don't panic. We are only human and we are gonna you may not panic, but it can stir up something within you. Although I am fully vaccinated now, it still stirs something in me. Because now look, if you catch COVID and I give it to my household, all of we can got to shut up shop and go down. Then contact trace and everybody go down. But that's what I want people to understand. You may be lucky, but it don't always stay at you. It may go to whoever you visit over in the house, and everybody have to go down. And not only that, say you leave your house at the mercy of the crooks that can come in your house. Okay. Now, I'm saying it again, it's a cliche. A sick of hearing it. Anytime you sit and talk something, it going to buzz out at the size. You got to get up quick. If not, it's going to burst at the size. He cannot even say, how the guy contracted the virus. So he can't be atop anything. When you got everything there, then you are on top of it. And I am saying, Mr. Minister, you are not on top yet. That jump from 1 to 17, it gave people chilly bumps. When you feel, when you know that you're on top, or you tell somebody, well, I'm on top, and they examine and see you up top in the center, I would say, then you can come and tell us that you are on top. I, this is only my opinion, do not believe this when I sit on top. But I can wait till it started to burst at the side. I don't know if you, Mr. Ellis, remember what Mr. Franklin said. He said that he can wait till there's another institution that soon, that is soon going to be a part of this thing, but he can wait till Mr. Bob made the announcement. It was made yesterday, right? And I am going to say again, this is a call over there. We need, don't drop our guards. We need, COVID's still here, and do the right things. All right, one more issue. All right, my heart goes out to Donville. I know Donville personally, and I wish Donville all the best. If he has to be incarcerated, I hope he will become a model prisoner where, you know, that he would do the right things and he, you know, they would say good about him. All right. Another thing, too. A person.
Look, a lot of money can be diverted away from purposes that are aimed at improving the lot of people. If you allow that kind of behavior to go on without coming down on it. And what I believe is that we need to strive for better. We are not perfect. I understand that. But it is not acceptable to say that these things have always been with us and they will always be with us. If that is the case, why is it that people go on the platform election after election and give the impression that it is wrong and that it needs to be corrected? And as we have seen recently, a lot of taxpayers' money is spent with the intention of trying to improve a situation. And if that nothing is done, then that money is wasted. So we can't, I went into a supermarket recently and I saw a sign. The sign said, we are no longer accepting personal checks because there has been an upsurge in check fraud in Barbados. That's their experience. I don't know if with COVID and all the joblessness and all the stuff that has been happening, it is forcing more people to go in that direction. But there's a cost associated with it. But most of all, if we do nothing, there are others who are prepared to do something. The United States, Britain, other countries with whom we do business. Because they are looking at us as a place where their business people can come and do business. They don't want business people to report to their embassies that when they come to Barbados and they seek to do business, they get asked questions by people of influence to the effect that they want to get money in a brown paper bag or something like that on a briefcase in exchange for doing business. Because that's what the people will do. They will report to their governments what's been happening. And then the country, you can't move forward because we need foreign direct investment. You understand what I'm saying? Are you there? I'm not so sure if she's gone. Perhaps she is, yes. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning.
Yes, morning.
Good morning, David.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, not bad. I know that you would have got attacked for your opening statement. But right. I would say, well, for Why? Because the way I understand you, right? But I know the way how it come over to some people can attack you because they ain't gonna understand, you know.
What's so difficult to understand about what I said?
I you see that the thing, David, right? There's a lot of people that do not understand human nature, you know. And I will say to this to them, if you know that you're a sinner, start casting stone. Right? Because I know a lot of people that criticizing Dover Innes, put them in that position, they will probably do worse. Right? Because, you know, they're just, it's hard for people to get and talk about this politicians and thing. But, you know what, when he shoes on the other foot, then they will see a lot of people that got skeleton in the closet can come out and say that he's a bad man. And that's why he's trying to say that a lot of people, I understand the human soul, or not says soul or mind, because the soul is supposed to be pure, right? And I will say this, but I know that when they call me a Trump supporter, right? I, like a lot of millions of Americans, believe that the election was stolen. The United States is the most corrupt country in the world, right? And I believe, and it, not to mean that a Trump supporter, because I believe that Trump was a psyop, or is a psyop, right? I'm skeptical about Trump. It means that he would be part of the plan, right? So I want you all to know that you all don't understand a lot of things that are going on in this world. And Tony Blair and George Bush with Iraq war, all that was a crime. Nobody didn't get hold. There wasn't a commission on it. And then Ben's still free. But David Innes, the boy, he's just a Bajan, poor fella that come from St. Philip, that is, make a way in life, try to help people, and get caught up in this. So he's to be, he's to be sentenced. But other people that are doing more heinous crime on a world level.
Well, I don't know. The Rudy Giuliani's office was raided, I think, 2 days ago. The President of the United States had said that he was not going to interfere in the Justice Department's work, and he didn't know anything at all about it because he'd already made it clear that the Justice Department wasn't there to do the work of the president. It was to do the work of the people. And Giuliani is a high-profile person in the United States, and they've gone after him. The Americans are known for going after their own politicians as well. So I don't know that you can look at this and say, oh, it is only a man from a Caribbean country and a poor black man that they go after. They go after a number of other people as well.
Agree, David, but they're going after who that they want to go after. But I talking about people that they should go after. To me, it is all politics. I don't agree with
well,
that, you all.
While you say that, huh? There are a lot of people who are saying that in the case of Barbados, we go after nobody in those in those circumstances. Nobody at all.
Well,
all we do is get involved in a lot of talk. But you can see why. Because this society has shown you that it cries out deeply when somebody at that level is touched. That's what it shows you.
That is why, Mr. David Ellis, and you, like people like you that know, understand politics well, and understand it, like the Constitution of Barbados and so on, to educate the people on what we are going into, right? I believe there should be more discussion on, because to me, it's just changing the Constitution, right? And exchanging one, what we call a noble lie for another noble lie. People need to understand Plato's Republic and what you talk about being in the cave. There are a lot of people that do not understand politics. All we're doing is changing names, but if you got people that you electing and they are not serving your interests, you are going nowhere, right?
But I hear you speaking, David. I know you're an intelligent man, so enlighten the people on what they are going into. Because what happened, when people are attacking you, the prime minister have no right intimidating policemen. And that's a serious thing, but people didn't get it. That we're trying to tell you people don't understand understand you that well, right? But I can hear you again, Dave. You have a nice day.
All right, sir. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
This morning, is this Mr. Clark?
No, this is David Ellis speaking.
Okay, Mr. Ellis. I didn't really want to get the number he mentioned. I don't want to get the program just to get Kermit's phone number to make the order. So if he can make an announcement later on, that'd be okay?
Well, I believe that may be a commercial. You need to listen.
When the commercial comes back. I listen it.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot, Mr. Ellis.
Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? Can you turn off your radio, please?
Okay, thank you.
I believe... You're on the air.
When the commercial comes back.
Hello. You really got us confused there. You're on the air.
Hello.
You are on the air.
On the air?
Yes.
Ennis, I want to talk about Mr. Ennis.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that Mr. Ennis had 10 years at least. I would fall in politics from the days of the Congress Party.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the 50s. I beg, I'm born in St. Philip. I know about D.D. Garner, W.A. Crawford, them were the congressmen. And from the time the Democratic Labor Party,
we need to have it, but we need to be careful how we have it. All right? So, for instance, Mr. Ennis has been convicted of a crime in the United States. Having been convicted, we can speak about what he has been convicted of. However, nobody else in public life at that level has been convicted of any crime. And therefore, we cannot speak of it in those terms. So I want you to avoid calling names. I want you to avoid a situation where when you finish, anybody could conclude that they know exactly who you were talking about. I want you to avoid small groups of people as well. So that when you're finished talking, nobody can say, well, there's only six people in this group. So he must be referring to all six of us, and all six of them can sue as long as that group is small enough to be identified. So take my advice and be cautious where you're going with this talk, okay?
I want to put this to you.
Okay.
From 1961, there was...
Let me say to you that we have had an instance where a minister was moved. There was a commission of inquiry into, my recollection is, the National Housing Corporation. And no charges were brought as a consequence of that. And there could be no clear and distinct link of corruption in those circumstances by that minister, resulting in his removal. Indeed, the minister was subsequently put back in the cabinet, the Barrow cabinet. So I just think that you need a little coaching before we can entertain more of your talk, because you sound like one of these oldsters who got a lot of information, but the way that you would want to talk about it has the potential to put Ronnie Clark in trouble and to run the station in trouble and run me in trouble, all right? So I think I am going to leave you there. But experience has taught me when I need to surrender and leave something alone, all right? I don't want to hear you, but the way that you're putting your thing across has Once you're dealing with corruption, you've got to be exceedingly careful that you don't end up creating an environment where lawyers send letters and that sort of thing to the station. So forgive me, but I have to leave you in these circumstances. Down to Brass Tacks.
Hey.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Okay, fine. Mr. Ben, he saw like someone was playing in the different park. I'm not even commenting necessarily on Mr. Ennis's thing. I'm more concerned about people that like Mr. Ben and his comments. That seems to be the FDA in denial, actually. He's trying to push a version that it was campaign financing. I know where he get that from. I don't know where he get that from at all. That ain't got nothing to do with the campaign financing.
I agree with you. I thought that whole discussion distorted the central issue.
Yes.
This was not. I agree, it is not about campaign financing.
It had nothing to do with it. And he pushing the agenda. I really don't wear my head with
that. That to me is a distraction from the real issue.
Yes. They're probably in denial, man. Now, I can remember that. Like, actually, if you look at the year, the time, and all that whole thing, that was the charge, the case was dubbed the 2015 and 2016 Bree Ennis and senior officials at the OCBL. Because CGI was not rated at all. You understand what I'm saying? So that is they said this is a break. This is in 2015. We had the election in 2013. What thing campaign funding what? Ain't got nothing to do with the campaign funding. And when people are talking about the $36,000, the prosecutor said, when you check, that was NS received 5% of the amount of the money that OCBL won in the contract in 2015. Because even about 2 days paper, 2 days ago, paper said the OCBL now resort back to, they're now getting 50% again. So that got nothing to do with the campaign financing. So that's basically what I want to say. I will not gloat over Mr. Edison's whatever his issues, but you have to put it into perspective.
But you and I agree, Statsman, that this has nothing to do with campaign financing.
It does not.
This case has been tried. We've been through this case already. I mean, a lot has been said, and let's accept that and move on. Okay.
Yes. All right.
Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hi, David. Good morning.
Morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm well.
Oh, good. Listen, I wholly endorse your opening comments. I think they were fair, totally fair, given the fact that you're Donald's friend. You've always said that. You've never hit that fact. I think you were quite fair in what you said. But there's something I've been hearing people say, and I don't agree at all. They're saying that Donald made a mistake. And I'm saying, no, Donald didn't make a mistake. He got caught, right? There are lots of others that should be in the same net, right? You also made a very good statement coming to the end when you said there are lots of people or a number of people who aren't willing to travel and not because of COVID, right? I agree with you. I've been saying that. I agree with you 100%, right? I also feel within my own heart that, what's her name? The president of the DLP, Verdi Pisa,
Yeah.
Free as a bird. She's as free as a bird. Unhinged. She can travel any part of the world. Right? That's part A. Now, number two, what do you want to get at? Now, make it abundantly clear, you know that I'm a supporter of the Israel Party. There's no question about that. Right? But there are two things that I am watching and I'm waiting and I'm expecting to hear of. And that is the situation at the Barbados Water Authority with the building and those meters, right? Something has to be said. And also about Sanitation Service Authority and that building, right? The public has to be told something from this government or whoever about what is the status of whatever went on at those places in those ministries. Right? And they expect that from the government that I totally support. I'm not a member of the party, but I'm a real supporter of the party, okay? I'm telling you, they have to come and say something about what is going on with Water Authority and Sanitation Service Authority. You have a good day, David.
Well, this guy sends me a pretty long piece here. He said that he finds it interesting to hear me talking about this subject of corruption. He said that he arrived here in 2004 to resettle after a thoroughly enjoyable profession in the UK. And shortly after settling in, he was appointed CEO of a foundation, a charity. On taking up the reins with the blessings of the then president of the foundation, he was surprised to discover that there was never a board meeting or a monthly or annual meeting. There were no audits and no evidence of any annual filing of the accounts of this charity. The board was made up of some of the most prominent names in Barbados's professional society. What was most frightening is that donations to the foundation were continuously arriving and lodged into the bank account. To my horror, and that of the president, it would seem, $900,000 in funds were received, but disappeared. The president claimed to be surprised. Along with the president, who has subsequently passed away, and myself, we convened a meeting with the bank here to find out how the money was able to be deposited, then withdrawn and squandered. The first meeting produced only a commitment by the bank to investigate. Every follow-up meeting was cancelled by the president. He says more, but I go no further with this at this stage, and I have refrained from calling the name of the particular foundation because this is his allegation. I can't prove it. But that's some of the stuff that people have to say about what goes on in this country and the degree to which they can never get anywhere in trying to deal with some of the problems that arise that are similar to this, you know? This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, David.
Yes, morning, sir.
Now, David, you know, I didn't really want to speak on this issue with Donville because, to be honest with you, I don't believe in gloating about these kind of situations. That's my honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was one of the most fierce critic of Donville in it. You remember mm-hmm. that?
Yes, you were.
Right. So that's why I say I really don't really want to continue attacking him or work transfer with him recently. But if you recognize or you listen, you will see that it is the Democratic Labour Party supporters who are keeping this thing burning or in the face of the public. And if you listen to them yesterday, you will see exactly what I'm saying. You had Hensley Benn. And I think he was most outrageous. I could not believe what he was saying coming from Hensley Benn, trying to justify what had happened with Mr. Innes. And then you had the Trinidadian woman come on, and she was the judge and jury to everything that happened in the United States of America. And my advice to all the Democrat Labour Party supporters, if you want to do justice to Donville, try not to come on the program talking about the particular issue. Because you would find that the real supporters or people who, as they would say, support the Barbarous Labour Party, then the ones who speak about this issue, you know, is the Democrat Labour Party supporters who keep this thing burning, you know?
I think that the Democratic Labour Party has suffered a severe blow with this particular case. But I also think that all politicians in Barbados are going to suffer as a result of this. The perception of people in politics has been shaken to a greater degree by this conviction. But I also add to this that Barbados as a country and how it conducts business and what it accepts is also under scrutiny. And nobody in this country is going to be in a position to escape the glare of that scrutiny. And nobody can be triumphant about this particular matter. We are all in this together.
You're right.
All of us.
And the thing about it, David, to be honest with you, I honestly believe, right, that's my opinion, I believe it would have been best if Donville had gone to prison immediately after the sentence. And I'm saying this with a burden that I have on my heart for his sons and his wife, the entire family, because I can understand what it's going to be like for that particular family, David, on the morning or the day Donville has to go, leave that family and go and present himself to people out of prison.
Look.
I believe it's going to be more traumatic to them at that particular time than if he had gone directly to prison. What do you think about that?
You may be right about what they are going to suffer, but I want to draw this to your attention now. Day after day, average people in this country have to go through that with their children, their husbands, their loved ones. The reason why we are more sympathetic is because this is a high-profile person. But don't forget, use this as the opportunity to remember the other little people in the country who suffer in this way because somebody has done something that is wrong in the eyes of the law. And, I don't want us to take on a posture here where it seems as though we are more sympathetic to one than the other. Because it helps to create this image of a country that seems to want to protect certain people more than it wants to protect others. So the guy down there, I saw somebody write a post and they say, but a man could get locked up for a spliff for a longer term in Barbados than Donville got for what happened there, you know?
I know.
There are people who go through this pressure. And even the people who are at the center, those who have committed the crimes. Somebody, there was a story there with the entertainer today in the newspaper. The entertainer who admitted that he was growing cannabis and said that he grew the cannabis. he might have been fortunate because recently for the more humane approach to the problem, all right? But at the end of the day, this is the sort of thing that happens to people. And you know, his family will go through the same thing that Don Belinus' family going through. The stigma, when you get up to sing, fellow Calypsonians may go and find something to sing about him, especially if they want to be bitter and nasty. That sort of thing just happened. So you got to live with it.
But David, I'm going to close by telling this, though, even though you may think I sympathize with Donville, okay? But I can remember, when they had this thing with Herbert, who Herbert, you know, with the drugs thing on the boat. in, or I don't pay, I should say.
Well, I think we all have lessons to learn from things like this, you know. I see so many things in the country from time to time, and you know, there are those who celebrate at bad news, and then there are those who are sympathetic and supportive, and you know, you try to go to the aid of people who find themselves in unfortunate circumstances. You know, there but for the grace of God go I. That's not just as it relates to Donville Innes. It is as it relates to so many, many people out there in society. And yes, they have to take responsibility for the wrong that they have done. But, you know, once they have paid their price, society is not kind. You end up having to pay that price many times over as you try to reintegrate into the society, because it's a very difficult situation for many of those people.
But I was close, but I don't think I'm one of the people who are close to the honest truth. I thank you.
All right, thank you for calling. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Welcome to the program. It's now 12 minutes. It's after 11 o'clock.
Good morning.
Yes, morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm wanting to just make a brief statement about an experience I had on Tuesday with the Immigration Department. We are always very eager to complain and say how inefficient things are, and I was so surprised and shocked at the nice, efficient way I was dealt with. I called on the Saturday and was told the office was closed. And I told the young lady, but I only want an appointment. She says, call me back later. Today I'm on the way out. I did that. I was given an appointment for Tuesday 11. I turned up about 10:45. And everybody was so efficient. You know, they did the hand sanitizing and put me to sit in an area distanced and all that. Then after about 5 minutes, I was led into one of the officers, and she dealt with me very efficiently. And by 10:55, I had even paid the cashier, and it was all done. And I thought it was so, so efficient and amazing that I wanted to let people know there are still some departments of the government, this was the immigration to renew a passport, that acted so well. And they should be congratulated, and everybody else should hear about it and try to emulate them and do likewise.
That's very good news. And, you know, it just reinforces something that was said several months ago about the Immigration Department. It just shows that they have remained consistent in the delivery of quality service to the people with whom they deal. And what they need to do more than anything else, and the government should be doing it, is highlighting what it is that the Immigration Department has put in place to actually improve its service to this extent. The licensing authority could learn a thing or two, I suppose, from the Immigration Department. The government's poster child for improved efficiency is the Immigration Department, as far as I can see.
Yes, and let me tell you something else. When I got back home a few minutes to 12, I noticed that I had a missed call on my cell phone. And when I called, it was the lady that I spoke to on the Saturday who gave me the appointment. She was just checking to make sure, Mr. Wharton, you were able to get your appointment and everything went well. Man, you can't add to that.
Superb.
The others really need to take a leaf out of the book. The bra people with the taxes and all that, the car people that you have to pay, your licensing and what have you. A few of them should really listen to and go and let immigration tell them or show them how to do it.
Excellent. And thank you for taking the time and sharing that positive experience.
You're this most is welcome.
Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
Yes, I want to make 2 points today. I want to just touch on something, sir, and then I move on to something that you would be very knowledgeable of in respect to what I will say. Now, I agree with you with the comment coming from my friend, Mr. Bain. And you see this terrible campaign money, it's foolishness. If I am a politician and somebody's going to donate some money to me, the two things that are highlighted from what you gleaned from a lot of the callers, one, I can go and let the whole of Barbados know, like Tom or so-and-so just give me the sale up. And this is to help with our second way we'll encounter presenting my campaign, one. But if Tom come and give me out of a certain, this is an interesting one, out of a certain amount, this ain't nothing but no assistance campaign. With Tom, give me $10 million. That is of concern. So campaigning money, I ain't book campaigning money, period. But anyhow, if it's going to be book campaign, I let all on Sanji, you know, like, I know, get this here, hold it for everybody to see. I ain't got to carry no way to bring back and all this foolishness. So campaign money is a no-no.
And campaign money is important. When it comes to the extent to which money given in a campaign is then used to exert undue influence on contracts that are given by a government office.
So that's what you said when you talk about the latter part there, about $10 million or whatever. I don't know. It is a lot of... Anyhow, that is how it is. So I don't know what's going to happen going forward, but it is an interesting point. Now, you asked me about Mr. Chris Sinclair and whatever, and the news break came up, and he couldn't really answer as they would like. You remember some time ago, I came on here and made the point that I had attended a funeral and an encounter that I had in the St. Leonard's churchyard. Do you remember that?
I don't know if you know that it was specific to the church, the St. Leonard's churchyard, but I think you said that somebody had called to ask you about your switching political sides or something like that.
No, I can tell you what you said. I said, I was approached, you, I hear you on here now, you know, you are an apologist now for Mayor Motley and Peter Wickham. I hear you. What information was hidden? I could, this verbatim what was said. What information was hidden? Y'all don't read. And you, Mr. Ellis, went on. I don't want to say you as in that kind of way. And Mr. Ellis, you said, so wait a minute, Raul. The comment was also made that the moderator is relaxed now. I tell you, I ain't going there. I didn't tell you exactly what was said. If you want to say that, you could go along and say it. You remember that part?
No, I don't.
About the matter. I thank God for my recall. You made the point about the... And the body said the moderator is relaxed now. I said, no, anyhow. I want to say, right, that when Randolph called the other day and made the point about Raul was deep in the DLP for years and eons and whatever... There's a response to him, though. Yes, everybody knows my persuasion, and I am intelligent enough to switch when I see it necessary and is justified. And this is me speaking this morning. I am satisfied with my stance currently. It is justified. When I could make such an input, not I looking for anything, not a fella give me a toffee. Let me get it very, very clear. Any fella I know give me a toffee, come and say, yeah, I give you a toffee.
No job.
I was on
electrical jobs for the government and nothing, so.
Let me tell you something, though. I got, I could bring and show you. I got an application I wrote back in the 80s to the Ministry of Housing. I did some contractual work for them out of my own effort. I wrote a letter. I got the copy of it in there. I was given work under that. Nobody, I can say slowly, gave me a toffee in Barbados. And I can talk, or I'm frightened to say it. No, I'm frightened for nobody. Nobody never give me a toffee. This is Raul saying this morning. I was appointed on a board. I got two things here. National Assistance for your instrument of appointment. That's one. Instrument of appointment, two. 2 terms I serve on National Assistance Board. 2 terms. With that mark, 27th, 2016, 2013, April 2013, then next one, 2016. Good. So, good. So, Let me hear something to say. I can say before reservation. Nobody got a secret for me. I don't got nothing to hide. So
right.
I can talk. Wait a minute, I ain't finished yet, man. I want to tell you.
You think?
I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to show that you're badly off, man.
You really think that this program here is for you to make your personal statements about who you are
it's not about that. I just want to clear the air because the gentleman said and the whole of Barbados heard him saying that I this and was keeping this and no I this and no that, so I will have to defend. And you one there said Ron, but you said, call your name, and you get and you give me
but
the
Ron,
to respond.
But Ron, you have already said that you switch sides and you're happy switching sides.
That is in no way opposite
to what the man said.
Yeah, listen to what he wants to say to you. Listen to what he wants to say. I am saying that if I could be of such significance, I'm needed more than ever now. You ain't gonna have me. I don't know
who?
Going forward for the next. The DFC will need me more than ever going forward. Because I'm wrong. And I'm not easy. When I toss up, you know how he's tossed up. But
so
no, you ain't gonna got me.
You ain't easy for two, though.
Got me this thing. But let me say this one. You see that one with, you are an apologist for me, Marley, and Peter Wickham. That said person, if I could call a name, Marshall would go. I would like to call a name.
No, in the bosom of the BLP.
And
listen,
let me tell you, if you come on the BLP board, I will attack and I will be vehement in my
Ron, stop it, man. Stop. You're really gone overboard with this one, though. Tell you the truth. This is all about you, man. This is all about you. This is about anything that is national. Thanks very much for calling, though. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? Just turn your radio off. I think you are listening and it's creating a problem. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Come on. This is a little difficult for us. Welcome to the program. This person says, hi and good morning. It felt like a breath of fresh air to realize that a moderator can also be cut off here as well. Well, that's true. The question sometimes is, if the producer is unsure of where the moderator is going, then that producer is in a position to cut the moderator. You know, there are various interpretations of right and wrong. So, I mean, a lot depends upon, sometimes the moderator can really go overboard and can be cut. That's the role of the producer. So I don't know why that should be a breath of fresh air. That's something that is standard practice in the business. It can be a breath of fresh air to hear that. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? Hello. Morning. I don't understand what's going on here. Somebody's on the phone and they're actually listening to the radio, and that has got the situation creating a problem for us. Hello?
Good morning to you, sir.
Yeah, morning.
Yes, Mr. Ellis. Good morning. Are you listening to me? Or
I am.
Yeah, can you remember? There was a gentleman by the name of Sanford. That was...
Yes.
Which country was he... which country he came from?
He came from the United States, but he used to live in Antigua.
Right. And
he's in jail in the United States.
Right. And he was charged for all types of laundering, ain't he?
Well, he was involved in what was seen as a massive Ponzi scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the basis upon which they brought charges against him.
Right.
Why do you raise that?
Because I heard some persons have saying that Barbados will lose the reputation and whatnot. So I was wondering if when persons like Sanford was convicted and was convicted for certain schemes and whatnot. I never heard that America lose any dignity or Antigua. Why Barbados would lose all this respect? You could have any idea?
Well, I think you have to look at it from the angle that Barbados has bragged and boasted to the world that It has it runs an international financial sector. It tries to make sure that it is as clean a jurisdiction as possible. It wants to promote to the rest of the world that it is a good place to do business. And one of the assets of any country when it comes to doing business is a good reputation, one in which you don't have to pay bribes and you don't have to pay corrupt officials to get things done. And therefore, if you have this case being pointed to by others, they say basically, it just may indicate to some that there is a way of doing business in Barbados that may be seen as going beyond one person. If you have the image of creating that kind of culture, then you run the risk of scaring off some investors. There are some investors who are attracted by things like that, but reputable investors will not be. And you're going to get some pressure to make sure that wherever this situation exists, or even if it doesn't exist, that you create an environment where people will feel that it is safe to come to the place and do business. So, you know, we can't sit down here and say with any certainty exactly what impact it is going to have in that regard. But you know that you're running a risk. Would you think so?
I personally, with one case of what happened with the gentleman, I just feel that it is going a bit too far. It is a bit too overboard. Not only because he's a politician, but it seems to be going a bit too far for me. I don't think that people that have want to invest in Barbados will have any doubts to come in.
You don't think that one case does not, as the people say, one swallow does not a summer make. And therefore, yes, you are right in saying that it is only one case. However, you and I live here.
Yeah.
And you and I know what has been said over the years about how things have been done in the country. And you and I also know the kind of allegations that were made time and time again on the political platform in this country about how things were being done. So you have to put this in that context. You got to see whether we run the risk of being perceived as having a culture that condones this behavior.
Yes, sir. Apart from that, apart from what you said, I think our image in Barbados is kind of internal. It's more internal dialogue that would scare the people away than they're really interested in what happened. I think so. I don't think that international persons that want to come and invest here and so would just, we're going to Barbados because of this and because of that. I think that's my
option. Well, I want to tell you that I would have been here on this program in the past talking about some of the things that were coming to my ears. I couldn't be specific, but I know that there were serious charges about how things were done in Barbados at one stage. Indeed, I did an interview with the chairman of Integrity Group Barbados, I think yesterday, and carried it yesterday and today, in Sagicor's early business. And he referred to situations where in the past business people were saying that they were being asked for favors once they came to do business in the country. How widespread that was, I can't be precise about it, but I know that was part of what we were hearing quite a bit. And we certainly need to make sure that sort of situation does not arise again. You know, so we got to, that's why people are saying, look, deal with the integrity legislation. Put these things in place. The freedom of information, access to information. You don't have to be begging government officials to tell you something that basically should be common knowledge, and that you know there's transparency in all of this, because in the absence of it, people are going to be suspicious of certain of the actions. And as I said, this is not only about the politicians, you know, it is about the business people as well, and it is about civil servants and public servants as well. Okay.
Okay.
People who hide under the radar and do a lot of mischief, you know, a lot of mischief.
Yes, sir. I agree with some what you're saying, but I believe that we in Barbados that live here should try to promote Barbados and not try to pull it down and put every little thing that we know or hear on the streets or we know is goes on. In WhatsApp and all types of media, so that to run people, we have to encourage people to come and not defraud them from coming, prevent them from coming to this little island. We did well, and we are still doing good. And I think that we should be more, you know, we should more be more Barbadian than just politicians, because most persons seems to be on the political side than the country of itself. They don't seem to represent the island. They seem to represent politics and party. And we need to come off that to that path and come that down to where we used to be, a Barbados. And this is
we gotta be true to us. We gotta be true to ourselves, though.
Yeah.
If we hide from our truth and our reality, then we inhibit our own progress and development. If we encourage a system where the money is going into the pockets of a few, and the social services and things like that that we require cannot be executed and implemented because that money is being siphoned off, then we would have to be worried. And therefore, even if we are not there, in your judgment, we need to put things in place to stop it, because, you know, that's human nature. It is not peculiar to Barbados. The other countries where it exists, we have sat here and talked a lot about certain other countries in the Caribbean and point accusing fingers at them. But, you know, sometimes when they talk about us, they say, well, mighty Bajans. Bajans like to cover up a whole set of stuff, but they know better than us, you know. I hear people with that.
Well, what we can do is put things in place so that we will stamp out some of this corruption and see if we can move forward. I think we need to move forward and still looking and start looking back and hoping for a better future for the country. Forget all the foolishness that we hear every day on the radio. Politicians, this politicians, that country, this people. You know, to me, it sounds kind of a backward move.
You got to be careful, though, that you don't condone bad behavior by ignoring it, huh?
No, I'm not condoning bad behavior. I said put things in place. When you put things in place, it's not condoning. If you put things in place, you will stamp it out. But if things are not in place, how can you stamp it out? You've got to put things in place. Just for instance, when you go to the license authority up there, you see people all in the road stand, when pay license and whatnot. All that bombarding, it sounds hot. And people out there in the road standing up, you know, saying some of them have children and whatnot. And we promoting a lot of foolish gossip when they're really doing their camp. People just stamping hot stand. Good polyclinics, people outside in the sun standing up. Good post, some of the posts all around the buildings. No, we are Barbadians. We got to try and put our people first and stop the lot of nonsense that we keep portraying every day on the radio. We have a lot to do. We have a lot to look after. We have to look after our people and stop blaming other people for our mistakes. Anyway, thanks for listening.
All right, sir. All right, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello, welcome.
You don't pull the door.
You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Good. Good to hear you. I want to ask you something, Mr. Ellis. What's your opinion, or how do you feel about what we heard from the governor of the central bank pertaining to the 20% massive loss in the economy? Can you shed any light on that?
Well, I don't know that there's any light to be shed on it. I mean, it is stark. It is something that we should have anticipated. I think our problem is that we ran into trouble with the COVID in February, and that caused the country to have to go through a shutdown. You know, I am hopeful. I'm really hopeful that we'll do the right thing from here on and avoid any resurgence of COVID to that degree, because the numbers that you encounter will determine whether you have to lock down again or not. The governor has made it clear that you don't want to have a lockdown. But as you can see in what is happening in India, for instance, and what has happened in Brazil, if we reach a certain stage with this, you can't just let things go on as usual. So that's why we have to be vigilant. We have to make sure that the protocols that we put in place are useful, they protect us, that they follow the science. Sometimes I'm not so sure about the Sunday lockdowns versus the rest of the week and that sort of thing. I'm not so sure about, you know, the value of doing it that way. But I do support as much as possible Barbadians being cautious. What are your thoughts? Because obviously you're worried about it.
Well, my only thought is that I do believe that we have to take a different direction as far as the economy is concerned. I believe if we had put different measures in place and handled it differently, we would not be where we are now as far as the economy is concerned. And if we want to avoid a resurge, as you say, we will have to do things differently and look at things differently.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, for instance, a lot of monies and a lot of energies are being put into trying to rebuild the tourism sector, which we do need it. But I think that there are different ways to rebuild the economy now. And one of our other sectors that I don't think is paid a lot of attention to is the area of agriculture.
I think you got cut off by mistake. Are you still there? Down to Brass Tacks. It's 11:43. Welcome to the program. Okay. Let me share with you a couple of comments which people have made here. This person says Barbadians are sympathetic to politicians for many reasons. One is that what happens to them after leaving office or failure at the polls. Sadly, there is much ridicule if after leaving office they are poor, and what happens to them and their families when they cannot find work in the country. But there's more to it than that, you know, where politicians are concerned. It's also the demands that are made on politicians in the country. It is like a catch-22 situation where you complain about how they conduct themselves and stuff like that. Look critically at what kind of cars they drive and homes they live in and how they progress while in politics. But at the same time, they are expected to give so much to the society. When you listen, for instance, to the comments which were made by Mr. Innes about how much work he had done in relation to the people in the constituency and that sort of thing. Politicians can sometimes feel that it is a thankless job because notwithstanding all that you do, many politicians end up feeling as though they've moved from hero to zero in a hurry. In a matter of 10 years or so, for all the acclaim, you could watch, for instance, what happened with Mr. Arthur when he was Prime Minister. And it's instructive because if you look at all this popularity that Ms. Motley has right now, you should never forget that Mr. Arthur was also a very popular BLP leader. And what happened? There came a time where no matter how popular he was, he then became unpopular for one reason or another. Sometimes the very things that, the strengths that you bring can also turn out to be your weaknesses. So it goes in that kind of cycle. And the electorate can be very demanding. It can be very, very harsh. So to that extent, I am really sympathetic to what the politicians go through. I don't necessarily share the view that giving them more money is going to stop politicians from feeling as though they need to go the extra mile sometimes to look after self and to look after constituents. Because sometimes this is not just a question of looking after yourself in a direct way. It's trying to address all of those pressures that constituents exert on you. So that is one comment there. And then somebody else says that the gentleman who shared the experience at the positive experience at the Immigration Department is absolutely correct. That person writes to say, I am amazed at their efficiency and courteous customer service. Wow. A government department in Barbados getting that kind of acclaim and respect is rare. And that the Immigration Department has been getting it for so long is something for us to investigate. You know, sometimes people talk about investigating the bad things. But the Immigration Department really needs to share with Barbadians what it is that they have been able to do to turn around this particular department's image in this way. Let's see if we had another caller. Okay. Now, this other person says that it is fine for people or anyone to talk in Barbados. So this is the easiest place to get locked up. No one cares about excuses. So I don't know. I don't know that this is one of the easiest places to get locked up. It depends upon who you are. The people who get locked up in Barbados are usually the poor. People who can pay for good lawyers, pull out a lot of money to be represented. They tend not to end up getting into the system in that way. This other person says all countries need a bureaucracy, but it must be effective and efficient. Once it's not effective, law-abiding citizens will feel pressured to offer favors to get legal things done. And that is the root of corruption. Prosecuting one individual for money laundering is telling the OECD, etc., that we are not serious about getting rid of corruption. Not having a quorum for the integrity bill is very telling. So this person really is alluding to the possible implications of this case. on whom does it put pressure? Does it put pressure on the government of Barbados to bring the integrity bill back to Parliament as soon as possible before general elections? Does it apply pressure to the senators who decided that they were not going to support it, or those who were not there when the vote came last time, those who voted against it? Do they believe that the external image of Barbados will require that we pass this legislation? But as I say, passing the legislation is one thing, but policing the legislation is going to be another thing. And you have to see that within the context of the culture of this country. It is a culture which tends to be pretty supportive of what many people may see as wrongdoing. And it tends to protect a lot of the people who may be in the prominent positions. But societies generally tend to be like that. So we are not peculiar in that regard. So let's hear what you have to say. Those are some of the thoughts coming from some of those who have sent messages to us via WhatsApp. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Mr. David Ellis?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay, is Dennis Johnson okay? That's all I want to know.
I do not work in the company in such a position these days that I can tell you whether he's okay or not. I assume that he is.
Okay, good enough for me.
To the contrary.
Good enough for me. I would just like to wish a belated happy birthday to the former Prime Minister of Barbados, Mr. Fundle Stewart. I hope he enjoyed his day, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again when the COVID situation is over. Now I'd like to talk about Darnville Innes. I don't know how anybody who can call themselves a Barbadian could gloat over what happened to a brother of this soil. I don't understand it. They must be woven of a different cloth than me. On the other side, I listened this morning, and I heard what I would call real Christians. We got a bunch of hypocrites in Barbados. You know, we've all had favors given to us. I don't care who you are. We've all been given favors. What he does right is done all over the world. But he ain't no rapist. He ain't no killer. He ain't no woman beater. He ain't no child molester. I don't know why they had to give him 2 years in a federal prison in Texas, the most racist state in the country. No, he didn't deserve that. He is no common criminal.
Good afternoon and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
I'm still here. David,
yes, ma'am.
I am very emotional because I really thought that I was really disappointed that he did not get just probation and maybe community service. This is harsh and unusual punishment for one of our people from Barbados. To me, I see Darnville Innes as a brother. I don't know where these Bajans come from. I've heard them yesterday and the day before pulling down a man that was born in this country, and they talk about nationalism. They talk about brotherhood. They talk about being Christians. What kind of Christians are they? No wonder at night before I go to bed, I pray. I say, God, protect me from the Christians. I can't believe they've come on this radio program and said he didn't get enough time. He deserves what he got. He teach something from somebody here? there can only be a couple of victims, and those ones we don't even know about. He's never been charged in this country with bribery. So I don't know how you get from bribery to larceny if he's never been convicted. What he did was he did not account for over $10,000. He didn't declare it. Over $10,000. You know, if Miss Trinidadian and me were his lawyers, he'd be walking. He'd get his community service. He might get his probation, even though a man like him does not have to report because he ain't no hardened criminal. And in my books, he's not even a criminal. He made a mistake. He's paying the price, but darn, this is a heavy price for him to pay. You know how racist those prisons are in Texas? David?
I'm listening to you. And I'm recognizing.
Do you know how racist they are in Texas, of all places? And him, an educated man that did well in life for himself, was financially successful. He's going to be put in jail with those common thugs. And I'm talking about the guards now, not the inmates. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm very angry about this. And I feel that the people of Barbados should have rallied around him. And this is not a political statement, because I don't swing on either side of the fence. When the BLPs, like Mia said in a speech when she was talking about me, I don't care what side of the fence you're on. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Yes,
okay.
He was wrong.
All right. So I take into consideration your deep emotion on the issue. I recognize that different people are bringing different views on this matter. And while you hold your position, there are others who believe that to whom much is given, much is expected. And in their judgment, as you have heard, they have said that they believe it is too light. It is a slap on the wrist. Where I sit is that I have to take into consideration that we have diverging perspectives on it, and we will work with you and your diverging views. So thank you all very much. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay, you know.
Yeah, you sound lovely. Now, I do not know the life of me. How can you defend the indefensible? I don't understand it. It sounds like this sounds like the song. You know, Sparrow has a song, "A Man in the Bedroom," when he's claiming that he was caught in the position doing certain things, and then said, "No, he was only trying to help do this and that." That if people listen to that song, this scenario sounds like that to me, because I don't understand. And the last caller said, "If you're wrong, you're wrong," and yet she's saying that on one hand, and then saying something else on the other hand. But, you know, it is amazing. I think in the first place, right, I don't think he really handled that well. Because if I was caught in your backyard on the surveillance camera that has me breaking into your house, taking up documents, doing everything, and they caught me red-handed. They have all the evidence. Why would I say I'm not guilty? Why would I try to fight it? I think the smartest thing would be to try and negotiate a plea deal. I would have done that. I was saying that from the beginning. I think that would have been the smartest move. The only way then maybe I would keep on fighting it is if it was that they were going to give me, I mean, like 10 years minimum or maximum, let's say that, and then that wouldn't have been a deal for me. But I would have tried to negotiate a deal, because when you look at look at everything overall, the time that he has spent waiting for the trial and the time that he was even spend now waiting to actually start his sentence, he would have done actually 7 years. So if he had done a plea deal, because they have all the evidence, they have the emails, they have everything. So why are you going fighting this? That doesn't make sense to me. I think the smartest thing, I would have already made a plea deal. He would have spent 2 years already, and he would have been, he would have been back in the bar business. So I don't think he did the smartest thing. Not when the prosecution have all the evidence in the world. Why would you fight it? So that makes no sense to me. And I am hearing callers trying to defend, especially Mr. Bain. I mean, this is so ridiculous. What he's saying is, it's typical DLP type of modus operandi anyhow. So that's my take on it. I honestly, I am really sorry that he got himself, in that predicament. But he learned.
What do you see as the implications of that for the country, for things that happen here?
I honestly don't think.
Is it going to change anything?
No. I believe the authorities already know that the situation where those things are concerned. I'm just putting it lightly, right? They already have information. They already know the way things are done in Barbados and the individuals that are involved, rather being politicians or private citizens. Okay? They don't have a U.S. embassy in Barbados for sport, You think they got a U.S. embassy in Barbados for sport? They already knows what goes on in Barbados. It's unfortunate that, he sent the money overseas. If the money wasn't sent overseas, he would be, going happy-go-lucky, just like many other people. So I don't think that's going to really do anything to our reputation, because they already know how things work. They ain't foolish. All right?
Yeah. All right. Thank you. While all this focuses on Don Villanis, it is painful, really painful, to hear what is happening to the LIAT workers. I really can't understand the kind of silence that we are getting in relation to these persistent cries that are coming from this group of workers. I mean, somebody's got to be able to address their concerns, and I mean, people losing their homes and stuff. But it's the anguish that they come across with so often. I suppose people in senior positions in government and stuff may say that LIAT workers aren't the only ones that have been suffering as a result of the situation, that COVID has also impacted heavily on others. But I really think that it is important that the government of Barbados comes across as though, it is a bit more understanding of the situation, and that they shouldn't just appear, because it does appear as though they're kind of left out in the cold, and it is very painful to hear the kind of presentation that came from the workers yesterday, and to have the female employee breaking down in tears and that sort of thing. I mean, wow, that is exceedingly tough. Part of it is that their expectations were frustrated. The government of Antigua went and made sure that they couldn't take action against the airline for their severance and that sort of thing, with passing the law that it did. It was really sad. very, very sad to see people who have been there for us across this Caribbean treated in this way. I mean, this is not fair. This is not just. And I really am really sorry to hear what they are going through. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm okay.
You talking about these layout workers. You could remember that here in Barbados, that the national insurance was asking people that work in private to come and pay national insurance money.
Huh? What? And?
And those pilots, not that I am not sympathetic to their cause, those pilots at Layat and workers at Layat were drawn duty-free, no tax, no national insurance in Antigua. Is the Antiguan government that they got to really go after? Not really. Right now, it would be our taxpayers' money and our national insurance money that our government must be taking up to give them. As I said before, I am sympathetic to their cause. This government have to put some pressure on Antigua to pay the people the money. Antigua is who get all the benefits out of these workers.
Antigua couldn't get all the benefits. That is not a reasonable conclusion. Barbados has used Layat to do a lot of business for this country over the years. And tourism and the movement of people for business purposes and stuff. You cannot come and sit down and say that it is exclusively Antigua that has benefited from Layat's presence. It is not so. It's not so.
Mr. David, what I'm saying is the AG already said that they're going to give them an gratuity payment.
But obviously, but come on, look, when the grass is growing, the horse is starving, man. These are fellow Barbadians, you know. These are not people from Mars.
Mr. Ellis, I feel their pain like if it was...
You do?
I do feel their pain. But what I'm saying is you got to look at the whole situation.
I look at the whole situation, but I'm saying to you that it is clear to me that the way that they have interpreted the situation suggests that they don't feel as though they have been treated as well as they could have been. So I'm hoping that we will speed up the process and that the dialogue will take place. Barbados may very well have a good case for taking up the position that it has, but it needs to, you know, there needs to be some kind of dialogue with these people, because I get the impression that they feel shut out from dialogue.
I believe they should get some money, but what I'm saying is that Cranston Brown, or we name Gaston Brown, and man, we got to get drastic with him. You know, if you pay the government for the planes that we had, there was 3 planes that Barbados.
I don't know. Look, this Layat situation is one that we don't really hear much discussion about. The government of Barbados' position seems to be one that says it's not commenting on these matters, or as the Prime Minister puts it, shouting across the waters. And you just don't get a sense that you're getting enough information on where we are going with it, other than what we've last had, the comments that were made some time ago, the comments made by Gaston Brown subsequent to that, and that's where it is. And I think that it is, it's important that
the government,
where is it, that, you know, you could, we
something
need
wrong
to do,
coming
you,
up, but before I go, I want to make just a small comment. So Mr. Donald Ellis was the only one of the 30 Democratic Labour Party members that I had a lot of respect for. And Mr. Ellis, I can feel his pain today. I want to know why it should be him and not somebody else. He was a man that I respected to the max. The only one out of that crew that I had any respect for was Donald. And it was praying that he wouldn't go to jail. But such is life. got a big stick. But thanks, Mr. Ellis.
Okay, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello? This person makes the point here that, according to them, Browning made Liat redundant. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
This other person says, I agree with Winter because they think the Liat workers were very selfish. They never cared to contribute to anything for Barbados. It was all about themselves.
Hello,
Down to brass tacks.
Hello,
yes, good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes, sir.
I got two questions to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
St. James is right. I never knew that Barbados had so much lawyers in it. But everybody no. give it advice.
Now you know.
Huh?
Now you know.
I know and I'm true. Now, with the producers that produce the show, right? They go to a training. Hello?
If the producers who do what?
Go through training.
Which producers?
At VOB.
Well, why do you ask that?
Because I don't think today I don't know who is producing the show.
You can't chop up a lot.
Also, I don't like how we answer the phone.
Oh, dear.
No,
I know.
Mr. Ellis.
I can't hear the show, so basically, and I'm not in a position to hear how the phone is being answered, so all I can do is to, you make your comment, and the producer will, take it into account.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Okay, I get me quickly here now. You pretend to the gas, I'm rounding with Liat, right?
Yes.
Now, tell me this here. What I will have to find out first is when the government of Liat, the company of Liat put the thing in place, where is that the workers could not get the servants or whatever to put in place, whatever that was. I would like some person or persons to investigate. If all governments were involved to say yes on that thing they put in place, and if it is so that all governments were involved, all of them should make it pay all the workers. Because it means that they put that in place, whereas that they knew what was coming. They knew what they were about. Another thing, the part where, yes, I really feel for the persons is fat, that at least, I really feel for them. However, I believe in my when the other governments were trying their best to put Liat to sleep, when they would have at least gotten a little bit something out of it or try to save some of these things that are going on. The government of Antigua, Mrs. Gaston Brown, was totally against it. So mostly trouble and problems should go right back there. You understand anything you're asking, see?
Yeah, I mean, I see here back in October last year, Gaston Brown was saying that he wanted Barbados to help pay the millions of dollars in severance for the terminated Liat workers, and saying that Antigua and Barbuda couldn't carry the entire severance payment alone, but they were prepared to carry part of it and encourage the other shareholder governments to help pay to bring some relief to the staff.
Miss Ellis, that was after the fact. They were trying their best to prevent all that. And it wouldn't have accumulated so much. They were trying their best. The other governments were trying their best to prevent all of that. He refused. He put all the blockers he could put in front of it. When he realized that it's too late, then he wants the sacrificial lambs now. And it shouldn't be so.
Yep. But the real central issue remains, though, the plight of these workers.
Of the workers.
They are caught up. They're caught up in this tug of war. Between the regional leaders, and
I agree.
It's,
So what
I mean, the question
saying,
is, what is the best that can be done for these people in the circumstances?
But you know, y'all are
in the cold.
Yes, but y'all are saying on one hand about the dumb, in this case, if you do the crime, you pay, right? But now here comes the same right thing here now. What are y'all going to do? All I'm saying, find some sort of information exactly if all these governments that agree to that thing that was put in place so those workers could not get compensated the best way and deal with the persons. And if it is so, may all the governments pay. If it is not, the ones who had agreed to it, let them put the bill. That's all I'm saying.
Person thank said, you. as a LIA employee for 39 years, it is very hurtful hearing some of your callers and WhatsAppers' comments when they have no idea of the complexities of the LIA situation. And some of it may have been caused by some unfortunate statements by the AG, says this particular writer. Good afternoon and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. We got some feedback here, a couple of issues. LIAT is something that people are commenting on. This writer says that the longer I live, the more confused I am about what is right or wrong. Were the several LIAT workers contributing to NIS or income tax in Barbados? Should these workers be paid by our government simply because they are Barbadians? What a precedent that would set. Let the employee of 39 years come forward and educate us to the complexities of their employment so we would get a more holistic understanding. Regarding Donville, my understanding is that compassion is warranted where an individual is contrite and does not waste the court's time. The writer concludes, I suppose my confusion will continue. And then there's somebody else here who says, that they agree with what I said this morning. How does the man in the street who is against all the corruption we hear of, how does that person transform our country? We keep hearing about a need for legislation, but we see that there is no political intention to hold themselves accountable, says this writer. And please remind your callers that most of the challenges faced by LIA arose from the exorbitant landing and other taxes imposed by all our regional governments. A round trip to the U.S. is often cheaper than a ticket to St. Lucia. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Now, first of all, this will be the third time for the week that I'll be calling by staff. Almost a record. I think I've done it once before. But I'm doing it because I'm confused and worried about a situation. And I'm calling all of the moderators to find out, to get their opinion on something that I believe is troublesome. And the government is silent on it. And the fourth estate, the media, is also silent on it. I called Peter Wickham on Tuesday, and as usual, he put down what he would like, his bias in strange way. Ms. Hines yesterday, as usual, I thank you for bringing her to Brass Tacks because we got hopes with her. Not because I like her. I listen to her, and she's in the middle. She on one side and on the next. That's my opinion about her. Now, this morning, now I want to ask you, Mr. Ellis,
mm-hmm.
what you think about Barbados going republic within 6 to 7 months with no discussion whatsoever from government nor the fourth estate?
Well, quite frankly, if the government believes it has a mandate to do that, it perhaps will do so. I would think that generally speaking, you try to get public opinion on your side when you do something like that. But remember, given the kind of mandate that this administration has, it may well chance its hand and conclude that it can go in that direction without having to worry too much about the naysayers. I personally would prefer...
Ms. Ellis, sorry to
I personally would prefer...
Go back
that we go through, I personally would think that we would prefer to have a situation where that particular matter is put to the public. But, you know, things happen. People may come to the conclusion that they don't have to worry about that. That's been talked about so often and so long that we could just do it. I mean, you take a gamble if you go in that direction, because, you know, you may offend people. You could reach the point where people say, there are some people who will say, look, I don't have a problem with it. It don't matter. We should have done it ever since. However, whatever the government does is well done. And then there are others who will say otherwise, and they will feel that this is another example of the government using its might to get whatever it wants done.
Mr. Ellis, I disagree with almost everything you say.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you this. When did this government get a mandate to go republic?
It didn't. It did not put this. It didn't put this to the public in the last election.
When did this government get a mandate to go republic?
I didn't say that the government got a mandate to go republic.
What you
said? I say to you that the government may come to the conclusion.
Oh, the mayor. That, okay.
Yeah, that's I didn't tell you that.
But this question. The media got a mandate not to debate it. Somebody, some elephant in the room tells the media, don't go there.
Well, I don't know that people are shying away from the topic.
I'm speaking about the media.
I don't know. I can't speak. I cannot speak for the media. I can only speak for myself.
Okay, look, this is the fourth time someone have raised this republic on the air. One gentleman I heard, when he said, first time I ever know, that there's three different types of ways you could deal with a republic. I didn't know that. I thought republic is republic. And I, three times, nobody else deals with it, including Dave Ellis. I think it is unfair to the public to be going into something that could change everybody's life. Because it can.
How?
How?
Yeah.
Miss Ellis, you follow. Thanks. I find nobody discussing it. I start getting information.
Mm-hmm.
You know there's two different types of republic?
Yes.
Which one that we're going into?
I am not sure of exactly what we are planning to do. I think my recollection is that we are looking at the kind of a republic similar to what I have in Trinidad and Tobago. I can't remember.
Listen,
but that was my impression.
No government minister that is introducing an income to the public and saying nothing.
Mm.
So how can any of us know what we're going to get? Well, let me move from that, because I leave you to think about it. And a day you could have a program on it that we, the public, could hear people who understand it better. Because you don't understand it, and I want to know the silence for it. Let me get to my next point, because I've got three. This one ain't going to be long. I raise an issue with you a good time ago about a plane that was at Seville Airport for a period of time. I ain't going no further than that. I just want you to keep thinking. I also came to you again, and I asked you what was going on with Leah. You never respond neither. Then a day I call you again, I ask you, when our prime minister say that Leah is doomed, this long before it collapsed. You can help me what the prime minister means when she say Leah doomed. You didn't respond neither.
But I can't speak to you, prime minister.
Listen, what I'm saying is this. All the years I follow the Caribbean and the Act, Barbados was always up front. Don't mind, it was based in Antigua. Most of the islands, the Act got come here because of the embassy and etc., etc. Our airport is very important where the Act is concerned. I'm not saying the pilots should get this or the pilot should get that or nothing. This is what I'm saying. I think it's time enough the four countries that is the shareholders in LIAC and those that benefit from LIAC, that inner shareholders, should come together and find a way in helping those hard, poor, working people instead of talking about who pay insurance or who pay insurance. The point about it is that airline was working for the Caribbean for years. And I think it's unfair to just shut down the people like that. And we're not even... We're here in Barbados. The only way we're here talking about LIAC is the Attorney General. And he ain't talking about Queen. He's talking about LIAC. My final one on letting me get off the air. Miss Ellis, I don't know what's going on VOB. And I blame a gentleman called David Ellis for what I think is happening. Don't mean you're no longer manager. Yesterday called Brastax, really to deal with the Republic, but then they dealt with two little issues also. And then I hung up my phone, both landline and cell was off the hook, ringing, ringing, ringing. And everybody will know, as if you went by way of saying things that you know you can get caught. I said, I went on a way there and said things that I know you can get caught. Say nothing. I would never go on the number one station as listen to put it in trouble. Not me. Don't laugh. I tell you the truth. I would never.
I'm not laughing. I was just clearing my throat. I wasn't laughing.
Oh, you was clearing your throat. And let me tell you something. A friend of mine told me, look, listen to it and tell me if I hear wrong. And this tape last night, make sure I ain't drink a one man or not to call it to hear.
I ain't dropping to sleep.
Mm-hmm. And I was shocked. Not the one I dealt with. Tall boy and thing. Oh, that was like too plain. The one that was cut up. That when I hear, I said, I retarded. How can I be making a sentence and three quarters of the way I call about get cut up? And I mean, the things that was cut, it's things that you sit down here. All of us know about them. And I don't know, what is the policy? It is to catch certain people, or you have to talk nothing that lead to someone. Help me, Miss Ellis.
I really cannot help
I
will you.
I will know what to do if I do call again. Let me give you one. I can just give you one.
Look, hold on a minute. Hold on. First of all, I am a moderator here. I am no longer in a position of responsibility for what happens within the station. I am in no position to comment on what was cut up or was not cut up yesterday because I don't know all that was said. All right? I cannot be blamed for anything of the sort as you are saying. All I can do in this position is to say, look, if you are upset about the way that it was cut up, then perhaps you should speak to somebody else.
I thought you would say stop calling because my opinion.
I'm not going to tell you that.
No, I said.
One of the difficulties that can occur, right? I mean, there are different reasons why shows can be cut up. And I agree with you when a show is cut up too much, it's highly disruptive. But sometimes a lot has to do too with the person who is speaking, the caller or the moderator, sometimes can go overboard. Sometimes the person who is producing is uncomfortable and may not be sometimes as au fait with certain of the topics. And they... Within themselves, they will say, look, let me err on the side of caution. That's what they will, that can happen as well.
As you said, I can ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
If I call a witness, call my very first thing that was caught, I say, look, I was speaking really basing it on the inner issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to explain that the problem with Barbados right now is the way elections is run and financed.
Mm-hmm.
And politicians got to go there. This is my opinion. Go here, I won't call you telling you that the money you got nothing to do with campaign money. I don't know how somebody... You... I know politicians that leave Barbados.
Look, and Alvin. Alvin, please. I do not believe that it is useful for us to couch this whole issue in the context of campaign financing. And if this is what you were saying yesterday, I don't really believe that we should be going down that road with this, because those people who followed this case could not reasonably come to that conclusion. So please, let's not go over that. You've registered your concern about how you think the thing was cut up. I think that the station will just, you know, have to look at it and determine, you know, to what extent they believe that there's any validity in the complaint that has been raised, and to see to what extent that can be addressed. All right. This person writes here as an employee, somebody who's worked with Leah, one of the pilots, said in 2019, our prime minister, meaning the prime minister of Barbados, met with Leah staff here in Barbados. On the agenda was her request for us to take a pay cut so that she could trim back her obligations to the Caribbean Development Bank by having Leah take up more of the loan payments so that she could meet her BERT targets. I sat and watched her say to our faces how if we accepted the cut, the government would stand with us. And when the restructured Leah was profitable, we would not be forgotten. We would share in the fruits of the labor. I voted to accept a pay cut, taking me back to 2014 levels to help this government. And now this feels like a knife to the back. I have to go back to work and can't listen. But do let me know if you do read out this comment. So I have read it. Yes. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi.
Darvin Innes is a citizen of the United States, right?
I thought he was a permanent resident of the United States.
We're good. I sat down here and I heard people talking. People have gotten locked up for lesser things. People get 5 years of having a bullet, not a gun, in the possession. Real lesser things. He broke United States law. He was sentenced. And for me, that's it. Right? I don't think it was unfortunate. When you get involved in certain things, anything can happen. It can either go right or go wrong. No. What are the benefits of us becoming a republic, especially for poor people? Who are it really going to benefit? Is it going to benefit the people in a positive way, or is it going to benefit the politicians? That's what I want to know. Because I personally...
You want an answer, or you just want to talk?
No, I want an answer.
Look, there are some things that people believe. They have this notion that if you project yourself in a particular way on the international stage, it can make a difference to how people view themselves, that you can have a greater sense of pride and a belief in self. And those people who have to represent Barbados abroad in particular may feel somewhat ashamed of the fact that after all this time, we still have the Queen as our head of state. For them, true sovereignty requires that we go the extra mile and that we become a republic. There are some people to whom it matters. There are other people to whom it will not matter one way or the next. It will not change what we see as the culture, behavior in the country. It will not by itself make people better off financially. It will not change the balance of power between black countries and white countries, the rich and the poor. So for those reasons, there are others who will say, it doesn't really matter to me. So you have the two camps. And the camp that wants to become a republic is in power right now. So they will take Barbados. They are going to take Barbados to Republican status, it seems, one way or the next. So that's how it is.
The way you describe it is like a man walking the streets in an expensive creepy suit, and Natasha Kears got big rocks. It's just to give an impression. But
I've given you the two positions, huh? One favors it for the reasons that I've given. Another says, but it don't matter to me. And you got people in the middle who will say to you, look, if we have a republic, so be it. If we don't have one, so be it. It don't matter to me. Some people will tell that.
I thought it meant that when we become a republic, a lot of laws would have been changed so that those people who commit heinous crimes against people in society would be severely punished, including them.
No, but come on.
I thought that. Seriously, I thought that.
Trinidad is a republic. Listen, Trinidad is a republic. Dominica is a republic. Guyana is a republic. We don't, you know, the other countries that are republics in the region. And what, you know, you can determine for yourself, you know, one way or the next.
The last thing I got to ask you, the name that was mentioned to you on Monday, I'm going to repeat because it seemed to have irritated a certain moderator. I'm going to take it out of him because I heard that same moderator come on national radio and make sport of a sitting prime minister. I'm going to say who it is now. I'm going to take it up with him. But all of a sudden, the caller says something, I think it brought a little humor to the program. But he's up in arms about it. I'm not going to discuss it with you because I know the policy. I discuss it with the moderator.
Precisely. I agree with that.
You have a nice day.
You're not easy. How many, how much? you're something else, Mr. P. But I agree with you. Don't raise matters relating to other moderators with me. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You can show him how much man he is. Welcome to the program. You're on the air?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hi. Hello. Hi, you're on the air.
I'm on the air.
Yes, you are.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Ellis. I've been trying about 5 weeks and get through, but I've been hearing the talk. This is the primary thing I want to talk about. But I've been hearing the talk about need to discuss the republic. And you and I, we go back before we were independent. Now, we know the lot of talk that there was and excitement. And I ask you, Mr. Ellis, as some of my younger relatives asked me, are you better off with Barbados being an independent nation? They posed that question to me. And then I posed the question to them. And if we think that we plan it for young people, we got a mistake. We're making a big mistake. What do you feel, Mr. Ellis?
I don't know. When you look at the state of the economy and stuff, because I think that's what you measure success by. I mean, indebted, under pressure. I mean, they got people who are poor and proud. and Barbados perhaps is in that position. So we don't measure whether you're better off exclusively by economic gains. You measure it by how you feel about yourself. Even if you live in a shack, but you're glad to be independent, you're glad to be on your own, you feel that you can, you're your own man, walk, come in and out when you feel like. So those things make you feel good. So my sense of whether we are better off, I can't measure it by, I don't know where we would have been if we stayed a British colony, being subjected to Britain's whims and fancies, and as an environment in which Britain might have been struggling to get rid of us nonetheless. We've been able to make choices for ourselves that we would not have been able to make as a colony. And to that extent, we are better off. So it's a mix. It's a mix of the sense of controlling your own destiny and making your own decisions on key issues without having to have a governor here telling us you can't do this, you can't do that. But on the other, it is losing preferential access to markets, having to deal with issues such as graduation from certain types of assistance and that sort of thing. I see it as a...
Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. I'm finished.
Okay. Did you follow the Brexit debate?
Some of it, yes.
Closely? I could tell you I followed it very closely. If I missed it in the morning, I caught it in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one thing that came out of that Brexit debate. 98% of the British Commons didn't know anything, not one iota, about the British common market or the evolution from the British common market. Round and round and round in circles. And they brought these bills after bills after bills. If you get 3 out of 5 right, it was madness. It was mayhem. Boris Johnson didn't know what he was doing. Now, I say all that to say, here is we are going into, because I feel it should be put to the vote. And this nonsense, I call it nonsense, about if you feel good swearing allegiance to Queen Elizabeth and as one member of parliament, I'd put it, and to her heirs.
You mean Prince Charles?
No, not Charles. No, man. The younger guy. I don't follow these.
You mean Harry?
Eh?
Harry?
Harry, you would feel good. Now, this is how it is being sold. I could feel good swearing allegiance to Dame Sandra. So you can take us through all of this. Because I heard the PM a day when she was making her round the world interviews. When the BBC interviewer asked her, how is it going to be different? She says, it's going to be different very much. So you're going to go into all of this, because I tell you, there's going to be money being spent. And you just said, talk about a handful of representatives going overseas who may feel belittled. A handful of people can't run Barbados. Put it to the public. It ain't about changing Buckingham Road to Skeets Road or Windsor Road to something else with a Bayesian twist. It's a waste of time and energy at this point in time. Show me what there is in it. And that little discussion I was telling you about with three generations present, you know the most recent generation said, if we were still under the British rule, we would be able to go to England and study what we want to study and get up there to play football a lot easier. You see how young people think? That's two generations removed from me. And we think that we're putting them right. The same thing with the national heroes, watering it down. It's the only man in my time that I see fit and proper in his achievements individually and collectively is JMG Tom Adams. Even that one stroke with the landlord and tenant freehold purchase, I see that as the final separation or the achievement of emancipation.
What was that? Is the final achievement of
the landlord and tenant freehold act? Because you have people used to come down generation all down through it. Colonel Drax and all of them come down. You trust them? Ask Bobby Morris about it.
Look, I really believe, David. I must tell you that somebody here with David Gill used to sing "God Save the Queen" loud and clear at Harrison College with me in the hall.
Well, I had to sing it. But after that, I sing in plenty and in time of need. But the question is, why did Mr. Barron not go the next step? Because there's a lot of people who try to interpret what Mr. Barron used to say. You think you could do it?
Well, I think that...
Why Mr. Sandifer didn't go the next step? Why Mr. And all of these are men who are really ultra-nationalistic. Why didn't go? Is it that he wanted a third umpire far removed in the event of a question being raised? I don't know. But I cited the Brexit to say that when it comes up for debate in the House, only four people in there know anything about pre-independence. Honorable George.
I just want to suggest to you that, I mean, we are different people bringing different perspectives to these issues.
Let us ask the question nationally. Because the fourth generation I was telling you about, two or three move from me, would have the chance to vote. Like me and you, we didn't have a chance to vote at election. The election for independence.
Stop. We didn't have that chance, that's true. But remember, it was part of the election campaign.
Uh-huh.
Leading, you know, and that was seen as giving the mandate for
it was the election campaign that gave the mandate.
So yes,
I think we did not get the mandate from the last election.
Therefore, I agree.
Put the question to the people now, but don't say that come independence we would already have been a Republican state.
No, give me a second now. I just think that something as important as this, it cannot be assumed that everybody is going to support it, and you must give people the proper thing to do with something like this. It's either you're going to put it in the election campaign, or you would do a referendum on it, and that's how these things have been done before.
That is right.
If the government is going to adopt a different posture and essentially ram this thing down the people's throats because it believes it is the right thing to do, then it must be prepared to deal with any potential political fallout. But it may very well make the calculation that the Dems are so weak that it can do that and it doesn't have to worry about political fallout of any magnitude.
No,
that's a political call they have to make.
But those are not the D's that you should be worried about. You know, the D's, the Davids, and the Derricks, and the Dennises, the other D's. Not a handful of people. This is something you might find out that the younger people vote or just don't go. You might get a 20% turnout. Look at the turnout you had in Jamaica recently for an election. The other thing I want to hit on quickly before today in history comes on, because that's take up a lot of time. The going back to school, Mr. Ellis, what we are seeing right now is testimony to how a epidemic pandemic will flare up like a grass fire ever so often. You ain't got no control over that. I don't think we would ever become get herd immunity. And you know what? I, from time to time speaking to you, I always make mention of TB. If you do a check for TB in every voting district, I mean like XA1, XA2, CB1, CB2, you will find at least one person with tuberculosis, although we reached the herd immunity through vaccine and otherwise. But what I'm saying to you is, and this will happen in the absence of visitors coming to the island. Now, that is a relatively good stage that we are, because we should be able to out it. This time you're going to become very adept at outing those kind of fires. But the moment you bring back now the visitors, right now, they can't come by sea. The leaders ain't letting them come by air. The leaders have done for us what the American state did to Innes. They tackled the problem for us, right? And therefore, I am saying, no, do not let the, to use the minister's word, at no time should the full cohort be out, at no one day. Mr. Ellis, you have to deal with small aliquots. A third, a third, a third. Because you know what it all revolves about? The viral load. So if you got all the thousands of children out on the bus and you get a flare up like this, you have to shut that down, the whole place. Whereas if you have small numbers out, we are easing, we are letting the gas out slowly without an explosion. And I ask, where is the National Association of, what's called,
PTS,
NCPT? I haven't heard about that since my good friend Wendell Callender demitted. Where are they? I want to know, why is it that teachers cannot be provided with a barricade on their desk, separating them from the students, as is the case when you go in a bank, insurance office, supermarket, and they will be spending longer time.
Okay. Right? Well, thank you very much for your contribution. It's nice to hear you. Down to Brass Tacks.
Greetings to all.
Hey. Hi, good greetings.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hey.
As you listen to Brass Tacks, I hear the plea of those who are under a tremendous amount of pressure. And this is true no fault of their own. You know that the COVID-19 has brought a tremendous amount of challenges. And when people are under stress, as we are saying, Barbados, they turn to different forms of relief to ease that stress, you know. And the relief they turn to can only be temporary. So I would just like to invite them to the words of a famous man, and I hope you're going to permit me to just read Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, which says there, "Come to me, all you who are toiling and loaded down, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am mild tempered and lowly in heart, and you will find refreshment for your souls. For my yoke is kindly and my load is light." For those of you who are not familiar with a yoke is a device that you put on animals where it cushions them to ease the load that they are pulling. And as according to the law of Moses, you won't yoke a bull with a donkey because they will be unevenly yoked. So Jesus is telling you that under pressure, come to me. You know, people say there's more easier said than done, but there's nothing wrong with training, you know. So I just want to leave those few words with our listeners. As I hear a gentleman say, you feel the pain. I feel all pain, because I used to be up there running around too, Mr. Ellis, and they got in an accident. And they can't move around now like one time. So I got accustomed to being home, so I just read my Bible, go to my meetings, and listen to the Brass Tacks. And if I could share a little word of comfort to your listeners, I would do my best. So thank you, Mr. Ellis.
Thank you for calling. Down to Brass Tacks.
All right, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay. The Republican debate,
Barbados becoming a republic. I think if we're going to contextualize it, Mr. Gill is purporting that the younger people perhaps have different perspectives regarding whether we should move in that direction. I'm not sure that, you know, that what was the empirical evidence to suggest that. But I think certainly from my generation and our vantage, we, having come through the post-independence era and understanding the sense of nationhood and nationalism that was entrenched and was so articulated at that point, you know, being products of the strong national leaders that we had, I think it's automatic to a certain degree that we would want to, insert total Barbadian leadership in terms of how we compose our government and the hierarchy of governance. So I maybe take a look at how Britain and the Brexit episode, where there's, you know, it was driven by all types of cultural and racist undertones. Why would we want to hold on to that type of that form of how people view us and you know, relate to us?
The only issue raised here, though, is that Britain put Brexit to the vote. That's the issue that has been placed. They put Brexit to the vote, and do we go, proceed to this status because you want it to be done? You like it, and we don't have any kind of vote on it. Are you comfortable with that?
I'm not gonna. Is that the intent? Is that the stated?
Well, we need to find out what the intent is because we don't know. We were given a timetable, and COVID has come and upset the timetable as far as you would have expected. So, between now and November, what is the government going to do? We need to find out.
I suspect that the type of relationship that the government will want to maintain with those it needs, that there would be consultation. I can't imagine that a step of that magnitude would be sacrificed on the altars of a 30-0. I believe that would be consultation. So
that would be a reasonable position to take, as far as I'm concerned. There would not just consultation, but that you would do what is normally done. You're going to either, as I said, you're either going to have your separate referendum on the matter, or alternatively, it becomes part and parcel of your campaign. But I don't anticipate that we can have elections before November, but that's only, the Prime Minister could decide what she wants to do. But, you know, that's the gamble you take. You know, there's some things, personally, there are things that I hear discussed in the country and stuff, and I reach the point of saying, you know, I can't be bothered. I think that we all establish the priorities, the concerns that we have that are important. I am really one for trying to, I believed in the concept, for instance, of economic enfranchisement. You don't hear much talk about it, but there's still things that are being done that ultimately are aimed at taking us there. Having educated Barbadians, you want to give them the greatest opportunity to be able to develop, and business development is part and parcel of it. The other issue that I recognize that we have to confront is that we are in a world where there's a great degree of hostility to countries like ours. All right? The people who control the world are not like us. And in many instances, we have to go to them to get their foreign direct investment, to get their support and that sort of thing. So being in control of all of these elements within Barbados does not by itself put us in total control of our situation. We still have to grapple with these matters no matter what we call ourselves. We still have to deal with the internal dynamics of the tensions that run between different groups in this country as well. That by itself is not going to transform those challenges that we face. So I prefer to look deeper. But I share the same desire that you will have for trying to make Barbadians proud and trying to do the best that we can. So you have different, you know, you got different perspectives on it. What do you think? Down to brass tacks.
Miss Ellis, a blessed day to you, sir.
Yes, sir. It's 1:40.
Can you hear me, Miss Ellis? Hello?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Yes, I trust that your weekend will be a beautiful one and for the country as well.
Same to you and yours.
Thank you kindly. Miss Ellis, today I have two pertinent observations that I would like to make mention of. And the first one is, yesterday, when I listened to the program, there was a lady that called, and she was she used some very disparaging things said that she said about the welfare department, such as, when you go there, they treat you like animals. Mr. Ellis, I took offense to that, in that I've been dealing with the welfare department now for some years and conducting business with them. And those welfare officers are not only professional but very helpful to persons who go to that department. I've gone there. I've seen people who, well, as they're going there, they are greeted by the security and they're given a number and they go inside and register the name at the desk and they're given a seat to sit. And those persons, sometimes when they come, those that I've seen there who had children, the children are with their parents, and if the children are carrying on or crying, they will bring the children outside. I've never heard or seen a welfare officer.
But sir, you got to accept that while that may be what you've seen on the occasions that you've been there, it is possible that she could have encountered something that was different.
Ms. Ellis, not a single word in detail as to how or... listen to me. If I said to you that I was treated badly when I came to you, would you not ask me, explain to me how you were treated badly? Not a single detail coming from her. And I was very annoyed about it. Yes, I tried to reach the program yesterday to rebut her, because in not a single detail she could give as to how she was being treated or people were being treated as cattle. I reject it. These are professional, hardworking officers who are trained and that are there. And every day when people go there, they give them assistance. I am telling you, I've been there. I've seen it, Mr. Ellis. With respect, they're treated. And these officers try to help people and listen to their concerns, document what their complaints are, and give them facilities to live and send them to, look, if you can find somewhere, come back. And we're going to... Government pays rent for people. Government gives people vouchers to help feed them. And she could be using things like that against welfare officers. I'm telling you, as a Barbadian, and I heard that, I will reject it, and I will voice my concern about it. It's wrong, and it's unfair to those officers who work hard. Those officers go, can you feed them, visit homes, Miss Ellis? You may not know that. You remember some time ago I told you.
Man, I really believe that you are really pushing this in circumstances where you do not know. You may be right, but there's also that possibility that on that given day, she might have had an experience that was markedly different from the norm. What you can say is essentially you've encountered them on a number of occasions, and if it did happen, then it is not the norm. That's what I think you can say. But you can't, if she did not get into the detail for one reason or another, it does not necessarily mean that she didn't have a negative experience.
But let me ask you, how come she's going to make a blanket statement and it's going to go out there for people to believe it and not a single word, and I should not arrest the statement and question it? Of course I'm going to do it. If you went to the law court and said, look,
you can question the statement, but there has to be reason. You know, it got to be reasonable in coming to the position that you've taken. You cannot, from where you sit, categorically. I didn't hear the woman's contribution, but I'm saying to you, you can't categorically say that it didn't happen. As I said to you, what you can vouch for is the general behavior and attitude of the people involved that you meet there. That's what you can talk about.
You know something? It is always the other person, not me. Let me ask you this. But I shouldn't even be asking you because you would not know. What was her attitude when she got there? What was her behavior when she sat there? Not to worry about that. How could you?
I don't know the details. I really don't know the details.
But
in the absence of all of those details, you got to ask questions rather than come with this kind of position that you've taken, that there can be no truth whatsoever to what she said. You're just dismissing her. You, on the basis of your experience, you're just dismissing her complaint completely, and I don't think that you can do that without investigation.
I am going to dismiss it because there was no evidence at all given to substantiate what she was saying. That's the first thing. Let me move on to the other one. I'm not going to accept things like that. You know what I'm saying? Let me say this. The next point is this. You're hearing me, Mr. Ellis?
Yes, sir.
Good. On Sunday, gone when you hosted the program with Mr. Vickham and Cus Cus Walla Walla, I think that's his name. And
no, his name is not Walla Walla. His name is Koth Diwala.
Koth Diwala. Okay.
Koth Diwala.
Or if it's Cus Diwala or Koth Diwala or whatever.
It is Koth Diwala.
All Koth Diwala. Mr. Ellis.
Is you trying to be disrespectful to the young man? And I don't think that's fair.
Listen to me. I'm not being disrespectful, but I'm just trying to get his name correct.
Well, I hope so. Because it comes across. It comes across when you call you Walla Walla for sure,
but,
you know.
If a person has a name that is strange and you're trying to pronounce it, what would you expect to happen?
And that is why I've taken particular pains to point out to you how it is pronounced.
Well, there you are. Well, you've done it. All right? I'm saying here to you, now when I hear Mr. Wickham and the gentleman saying that the Democratic Labour Party should not be attacking the Barbados Labour Party, what they should be doing is trying to put things in place, what they should be doing. Mr. Ellis, I find that really out of order, in that in Barbados today, we have Barbadians who are complaining and suffering from things that they are going through. And you are going to tell me that a party and the people, no, you are hearing the cries from the people themselves, and they should not complain about it, because then the two of them are saying the Prime Minister is very popular, and therefore that's not going to do you any good. They say this, you think that they could be as popular as those patriarchs in the Bible, and even though they were doing the work that God had assigned them to do, they were criticized. They were threatening them, some of them were put in prison and all kind of things, and you're going to tell me that Barbadians are crying and complaining about the sufferings that they're going through, and you're going to tell me that you told them to say not to criticize it? Something has to be wrong with their head, Mr. Ellis. You had this country actually in an uproar about water across the country. And they were up and down marching. And you can tell me now that Barbados should not be critical of what is happening. That means, Mr. Ellis, that they don't have any feeling on the Karen book. They say, how could they say something like that? Mr. Ellis, you consider that to be reasonable?
Yes, and in the political sphere, you are going to have people who, when looking at the opposition, and I've heard this of all opposition parties already, that when they are doing the thing that opposition parties do best, which is to criticize, the people who don't support them or who support the other side or those who, sometimes even those who support them, the political party that is doing the criticizing, will tell them, you know, perhaps the strategy isn't the most effective strategy. That you always hear people telling opposition parties that they need to come forward with ideas and they need to articulate their vision. They need to identify their philosophy. So it is not unusual to have that, and it is not necessarily seen as unfair. And many times people within the parties themselves are saying that these things need to be done so that you can have some chance of being able to be a viable opposition and ultimately to go on to win government. So I don't understand. You must have said that to the Labour Party at some point when they were in opposition, I'm sure.
Let me point out the difference here now to you, what's happening here. That you got a political analyst who has been vehement in his criticism of the last government. And everything now that is being done, you're not getting a single word out of him as being objectionable. Everything seems to be fine and dandy. How could you do something like that? Every day, or whenever he's on, Mr. Stewart was not talking or whatever he was been doing. Everything was wrong, and people can talk as long as they want, whenever they want. Nobody stopped them, because it's right that we all have a right. But now, you are hearing this out of their mouth. You consider that to be reasonable, Taylor?
Well, look, son. Look at you.
Do you consider that to be reasonable?
I put it in the same category that I put you. You have long been singing the same political tune. You consider that to be reasonable? That you should have followed the line that you had taken since the 1990s and before?
Mr.
You see nothing wrong with that? You consider that? That's fine?
Mr. Ellis, you mean to tell
yes.
that water is life. And when people are complaining about it, they are wrong to do that. And they would join in and saying not to criticize it. You think they're real, Miss Ellis? Water is life. They'd remove the very water tank from St. Joseph. And you can tell me not to be critical of it. And they're saying don't criticize what is happening, because then they perceive that the government and the Prime Minister, it's so popular, but they can't be really serious about that. I mean, and you know very well that is unreasonable. You know that very well.
You don't know it's unreasonable. I consider that to be the normal cut and thrust. The normal cut and thrust of the political scene.
You mean, although the very citizens themselves, are airing their concerns, and you telling me that it's reasonable? I said, you like to really say things just to get me to go on. I think so. Because you know very well that this cannot be reasonable. When the people
I hear you, sir.
The people themselves, Mr. Ellis, you are hearing it.
I hope you have a pleasant weekend. Don't burst the blood vessel over, right? Thank you. Down to brass tacks. It's 1:53.
Hi, good evening. Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm well. And you?
I thought you would now spit these last 20 minutes in two. Give him 10 and give me 10. Anyhow, Mr. Ellis, I got three quick things here. I'm going to go along them quick with you.
You don't usually say enough to take 10 minutes?
Or I can take up as much as I need. No, Mr. Ellis,
I've got a daughter that is a school teacher.
Uh-huh.
I've got three grandsons, and they are of school age, right? As we speak right now, we've got a cluster in the mental. We only got one mental, and we can't keep it out of there. I believe we still got a cluster in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. We got one tertiary care hospital, and we can't keep it out of there. We had it in the prison. We had one prison, and we can't keep it out of there. How are we going to keep it out of 100 schools? There's about 20 secondary, about 79 to 80 primary, plus there's private schools. How are we going to keep it out of the schools, Mr. Ellis, if we can't keep it out of one institution?
Well, that's a question that you have to put to the education minister.
Well, I can start with you, as the man that is get to interview them. So when you get to them, you can ask them that. Cool. As I over by paper this morning, Mr. Ellis, I saw a water authority tanker coming out to the port with water.
Yes.
Where this water come from, Mr. Ellis?
Abroad.
Right. You see, that's all we know abroad. So you know that if the Fourth Estate was really doing the job, we would have had all kind of information on it. You can remember when the previous administration wanted to bring up some from Suriname, and they was going to bring it by barge, and they was going to float it up, and, you know, all kind of details was out there. No nanning out there. And I would dare say that you're happy and comfortable. You're happy and comfortable with that.
I would let you know how to try to put words in my mouth.
Well,
I am not.
I ask you if you're happy and comfortable, you just tell me yes. You never tell me no yet. So that's why you draw that conclusion.
I don't know that you asked me that question with any regularity, if I'm happy and comfortable.
I can remind you when I asked you. I asked you, Mr. Ellis, are you happy and comfortable with one of your moderators working at the Prime Minister office? And before he finished, you had said yes. So let me leave that there. Liat, Mr. Ellis.
No, I thought that I never gave you an answer like that. I indicated to you that the critical issue was how the moderator carried himself on the air. That a person must be measured not by where they are working, but they must be measured by how they conduct themselves, in my judgment.
Mr. Ellis, and
in those circumstances, that's how I would judge the person. That's what I told you. But in any case, you'd ask me with the water. The water situation is one in which the critical issue here is the quality of the water, no matter where it comes from. And we've had these assurances and reassurances from the Ministry of Health that the water quality is expected to match that which is produced there in Barbados, and they're watching that. So, I mean, you have to determine whether the answer that they've given you is good enough for you or whether you want more details. Thank you all for being part of today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis, and thanks also to technical operator and producer Ronnie Clark. Do have a great afternoon.